I'm Terry Graydon.
And I'm Joe Graydon. Welcome to the People's Pharmacy Podcast, sponsored by The Brain Gauge, developed by neuroscientists at the University of North Carolina to study brain function across a wide range of applications, including aging and traumatic brain injury.
The Brain Gauge translates state-of-the-art neuroscience into easy-to-use methods that let you take control of your brain health, now available for home, research, and clinical applications. Find out more at gageyourbrain.com.
People in India have been practicing yoga for thousands of years. Lately, it's become popular all over the world. This is the People's Pharmacy with Terry and Joe Graydon.
Many people think of yoga as a slightly strange activity, something reserved for young and flexible people. But there's growing evidence that yoga has health benefits for people of all ages. Not only does yoga help ease stress and anxiety, but it can have cardiovascular benefits, improve balance, and reduce the risk of falls.
How is yoga different from stretching or other kinds of exercise? Are there some people who should not practice yoga?
Coming up on The People's Pharmacy, find out how yoga might improve your health and your outlook.
First, the news.
In The People's Pharmacy Health Headlines, according to a new study, some dietary supplement manufacturers have adulterated their products with pharmaceutical ingredients. Between 2007 and 2016, the FDA sent more than 700 warning letters to such manufacturers because the agency had detected undeclared and potentially harmful drugs in them. Upon reviewing the database of tainted products marketed as dietary supplements, researchers found that the majority of such contaminated supplements were being marketed for sexual performance, weight loss, or muscle building. Approximately 80% of these products contained one illicit ingredient. The remaining 20% contained two or more hidden drugs. The vast majority of tainted supplements sold for sexual enhancement contained sildenafil or a similar compound. This could be a problem because sildenafil, also known by its brand name Viagra, can interact in dangerous ways with other medications. Men should not be taking it unknowingly, as this could put them at risk. Many of the contaminated weight loss supplements contained sibutramine or phenolphthalein, drugs that were removed from the U.S. market because of unacceptably risky side effects. The investigators warn that such deliberately adulterated products pose a serious public health risk, both alone and in combination with other medicines a consumer may be taking.
Psoriasis is a condition that causes red, dry, scaly, itchy skin patches. Treatment can be expensive, especially with the newer immune-modifying biologic drugs like Humira or Enbrel. That's why many people with mild to moderate psoriasis often turn to alternative therapies. But do they work? A review published in JAMA Dermatology suggests that a few complementary and alternative treatment strategies do have some evidence of efficacy. The dermatologists analyzed 57 clinical trials and 3 meta-analyses. They found that treatment with curcumin, the active ingredient in turmeric, conferred statistically and clinically significant improvement in psoriasis plaques. A traditional Chinese medicine, Indigo naturalis, demonstrated effectiveness when applied topically. Meditation, guided imagery, and acupuncture also helped improve psoriasis symptoms.
One alternative therapy that has gotten a lot of bad press lately is fish oil. After a decade or two of enthusiasm for its benefits in preventing heart disease, arthritis, and dry eyes, scientists have concluded that there's little or no evidence for its effectiveness in these conditions. A new meta-analysis of 19 clinical trials involving more than 2,000 participants suggests that omega-3 fatty acid supplements may reduce the severity of anxiety. The researchers conclude that despite variations in how the studies were set up, the main finding of this meta-analysis was that omega-3 PUFAs were associated with significant reduction in anxiety symptoms compared with controls. This effect persisted versus placebo controls. The doses that appeared most effective were 2,000 milligrams per day or higher, with less than 60% eicosapentaenoic acid.
Vitamin D is essential for strong bones. When young children don't get enough vitamin D, they can develop a bone deformity called rickets. This nutrient acts as a hormone in the body with hundreds of activities, including calcium regulation. Millions of people take both vitamin D and calcium supplements in an effort to maintain strong bones as they age. But a new meta-analysis of 81 randomized controlled trials involving over 50,000 participants concludes that vitamin D supplementation does not prevent fractures or falls or have clinically meaningful effects on bone mineral density. It remains unclear whether supplements can adequately replace the vitamin D that human skin makes when it's exposed to sunshine.
During cold season, parents often search for over-the-counter medicines to help young children overcome nasal congestion. Clinicians writing in the BMJ reviewed clinical trials and warned parents to avoid decongestants. For youngsters 6 years old and younger, there's no evidence they help stuffy noses, and they do have potential side effects. That's the health news from the People's Pharmacy this week.
Welcome to the People's Pharmacy. I'm Joe Graydon.
And I'm Terry Graydon. What do you know about yoga? Have you ever tried out this ancient practice? What do you know about its health benefits?
Yoga has become extremely popular over the last several decades. It's no longer considered exotic, though perhaps you have an image of fit-looking young people doing complicated poses. Although yoga practice could contribute to fitness, you don't have to be young or thin to benefit. People of every age and condition can practice yoga and find it helpful.
To find out more about the health benefits of yoga, we're talking today with Carol Krugoff. She's a yoga therapist at Duke Integrative Medicine in Durham, North Carolina. She offers classes and workshops for people with health challenges, and she's co-director of the Yoga for Seniors Teacher Training Program. There, yoga instructors learn to adapt the practice for older bodies and minds, with safety foremost. Carol is an award-winning journalist who served as founding editor of the Washington Post's health section. Her books include Healing Moves, Relax into Yoga for Seniors, a 6-week program for strength, balance, flexibility, and pain relief, and Yoga Sparks, 108 easy practices for stress relief in a minute or less. Welcome to the People's Pharmacy, Carol Krugoff.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
And today we invite you to join the discussion. Do you have a yoga practice? Have you found yoga helpful in addressing a health problem? Or do you have questions about whether a specific yoga practice would be appropriate for you? If you have a question or a story, you can join the conversation. Our phone number is 888-472-3366. You can email us radio@peoplespharmacy.com. That number again to join the conversation, 888-472-3366.
Carol, let's begin with the basics if we can. What is yoga?
Yoga is essentially a practice of awareness that's designed to quiet your mind and help you connect with your true self. It's got very ancient roots, as Joe mentioned in the introduction, from India, and it's now practiced widely all around the world.
I see a lot of young people with their yoga mats in their backpacks or on their bicycles, and I think, okay, so this is a young person's thing. But that's a misconception, isn't it?
That's a big misconception. There are so many misconceptions about yoga. And one of the biggest misconceptions is that yoga and posture is synonymous. That somehow when people say, I'm doing yoga, it means they're doing postures. And yoga is so much more than that. Postures are just one of the elements of the yoga toolkit. There are really four main elements in the yoga toolkit. There are postures, which is what everyone thinks about and knows. There's breathing, which is hugely important. There's meditation, again, very important. And then there are principles in yoga that don't get recognized very often. And as I've practiced, I'm 64 now, and I've been practicing for more than 40 years. And throughout my yoga journey, the principles of yoga, things like contentment and gratitude and non-harming, have become more and more an important part of the practice.
Well, you mentioned breathing, and a lot of our listeners are going, well, yeah, I'm breathing. Everybody's breathing. If you're not breathing, you're dead. So what's so special about yoga breathing?
Of course, if we're alive, we're breathing. And as Jon Kabat-Zinn is reported to have said, if you're breathing, there's more right with you than wrong with you. But the truth of it is many people in our culture are not breathing optimally. We're a very stress-related culture. We're kind of a 24/7 high-stress world, and many people breathe up in their chest. They breathe in a stressful manner. And yoga breathing is connected to the diaphragmatic breathing, that three-part breath, getting into a relaxation response. When I often teach classes, we start with the breath and learning how to take the breath down fully through the full part of the lung so that the belly rounds with the breath. That in and of itself has such an important therapeutic value. When you learn to breathe optimally, breathing fully, slowly, easily, it affects the whole constellation of physiology, lowers the heart rate, releases tension from the muscles. So learning optimal breathing in and of itself, I've had students go off their hypertension medication because they've been practicing yoga breathing.
Now, you said something that confused me. You said three-part breathing. And when I think of breathing, I think of two parts, in and out. So what's the third part?
So thank you. So in the yoga practice, the three-part breath talks about bringing breath into three parts of the torso. So when I teach this, I invite people to start by putting their hands on their lower belly. And, of course, we call it belly breathing. The air doesn't really go into the belly. When the air fills the lungs, the diaphragm descends and it pushes out the belly. So feeling the movement in the belly, that's part one. Then we put our hands on our rib cage, feeling the breath in the ribs, feeling the movement, the enhancement of breath in the rib cage. The ribs expand out on the inhale and then relax in on the exhale. And then we put the hands on the chest. So it's belly, ribs, and chest. That's the three-part breath. It's also called Durga Pranayama. And that teaching that technique alone, I've seen it just be very, very powerful for people who say, you know, Carol, I use it to sleep. Now, if I'm having trouble sleeping, I do the three-part breath. Or if I'm waiting for the doctor to call back and I'm getting anxious, I do the three-part breath. And it can be an extremely therapeutic technique.
Well, Carol, we're going to talk in a moment with Valeria in Charlottesville about the health benefits of yoga. But I'm just wondering, besides just relaxing, which sounds very positive, what else can yoga do for people?
Well, interestingly enough, the breath can not only be relaxing, it can also be energizing. So it's both true at once. So you've got the physical aspects of the yoga practice that can stretch and strengthen your muscles. You've got the relaxing benefits of the practice. And there's a cognitive stimulation. Yoga is a very holistic discipline, so it's not just about your abs or just about your left toenail. Yoga approaches the whole self and the whole person.
888-472-3366 is our number. We go to Valeria in Charlottesville, Virginia. Welcome to the People's Pharmacy. Your question, please.
Hello.
Hi, Valeria. What's up?
So I am an enthusiastic road and trail runner and have done trail half marathons and several years ago developed intense right knee pain and that prevented me from running comfortably and was very close to making an appointment with an orthopedist to explore what was going on, and instead decided to go to a yoga class. And truly, after the first yoga class, my pain, which I think was coming from tight hip muscles, resolved by 95%, and I never had to visit the doctor and have been practicing yoga since.
Valeria, thanks so much for that.
Carol, what about the idea of yoga for recuperation, for recovery from injury?
It can absolutely be helpful. As Valeria just mentioned, her experience as a runner, having that knee pain, yoga there affects us in so many ways, but one of the single most important things that yoga can help people do is enhance their awareness of what's going on in their body. And in recovery from injury, very often there's so much happening. Yoga as a holistic discipline recognizes that physical ailments also have emotional and spiritual components. So if someone's recovering from an injury, not only are they dealing with something physical that's going on, but they're also dealing with the emotional reactions to that, and the thought processes, and yoga can help in all of these arenas.
And we have an email from Joseph in Blacksburg, Virginia. He says that he's been doing yoga for 15 years, and he's nearly 65. And he says, yoga looks like a young person's industry, but this is a situation where of exercise and meditation where body shape bears no resemblance to one's posture, balance, and strength. Yoga is the yoking of mind and body. So that is what he has to say about yoga.
Well, I appreciate his saying that. He's absolutely right. The word yoga comes from the Sanskrit word yuj, which means to yoke or unite. And so what are we yoking or uniting? Well, as he said that so lovely, we're uniting the mind and the body through the breath. We're also uniting our little individual selves with that sense of something greater. So it's a very deep practice, and it's one that ages well.
We're going to take a break in a moment, but this idea of older people learning yoga, I mean, is that really possible?
I teach a gentle yoga class at Duke Integrative Medicine on Friday mornings, and there are often brand new people who come in, and they might be in a wheelchair, they might have a walker, they might have be recovering from a stroke. They might be very fit and able. And we, if they can get in the room, they can practice yoga.
You're listening to Carol Krukoff, a yoga therapist at Duke Integrative Medicine in Durham, North Carolina. She's co-director of the Yoga for Seniors Teaching Training Program and co-author of Relax Into Yoga for Seniors. After the break, we'll talk more about how yoga can help people improve their health.
What's the scientific evidence on the health benefits of yoga?
If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call. Our number is 888-472-3366. If our lines are full, you can email us radio@peoplespharmacy.com.
You're listening to The People's Pharmacy with Joe and Terry Graydon.
If you value the health information you get when you listen to The People's Pharmacy, consider subscribing to our email newsletter. You'll get the latest health news and information on upcoming podcasts delivered to your inbox twice a week. Look for the link at peoplespharmacy.com. Welcome back to The People's Pharmacy. I'm Joe Graydon.
And I'm Terry Graydon. If you would like to purchase a CD of this show, you can call 800-732-2334. It's show number 1138. Or you can find it on our website, peoplespharmacy.com.
The People's Pharmacy is brought to you in part by Brain Gauge. developed by neuroscientists at the University of North Carolina to track brain health. Available for home, research, and clinical applications. Online at gageyourbrain.com.
We're talking today about yoga and its potential health benefits. What do you want to know about this ancient practice? If you've got a question or a story about yoga, please give us a call. Our lines are open at 888-472-3366 or send us an email, radio@peoplespharmacy.com. The number again, 888-472-3366.
Our guest today is Carol Krukoff. That's K-R-U-C-O-F-F. She is a yoga instructor therapist at Duke Integrative Medicine in Durham, North Carolina. She's co-director of the Yoga for Seniors Teaching Training Program and co-author of Relax into Yoga for Seniors. Her previous book was Yoga Sparks, 108 Easy Practices for Stress Relief in a Minute or Less. Carol, in a minute or less, how is that possible?
Joe, if you can breathe, you can practice yoga. And if you're doing some mindful breathing, that takes a minute. And there's so many things that can be a part of a yoga practice that you might not even recognize. For example, if you let someone in front of you in line, you know, that is a yoga practice. That's a practice of aparigraha, greedlessness, of letting someone else go first. As I was saying earlier, the principles of yoga, being content, looking at what's right instead of what's wrong, these are all part of the yoga practice. So this is what I outline in the book. So there are postures, breathing, meditation, and these little principles.
Well, the thing that's so interesting to me is that during the course of a day, there are all kinds of little stressors and little interruptions, and you're cut off in traffic, or you know, just all you know, some political craziness that just happens. And the idea of being able to take just a minute, because we're all in such a hurry, to sort of let that stress go through a yoga practice, that sounds very appealing, even for people who don't want to do poses.
Absolutely. And your example of getting cut off in traffic is a perfect one. 30 years ago, before I was this deeply into the yoga journey, if somebody cut me off in traffic, my response might be to thrust my hand out the window and make a gesture. I'm embarrassed to say, but I was young and foolish, and that might have been what I would do if somebody would cut me off in traffic. Today, if somebody cut me off in traffic, I might stop, take a breath, and send that person some loving kindness. I mean, you don't, that person might be rushing to the hospital to care for a sick child. You just don't know what their story is. And the effect of the difference between thrusting my hand out the window and making a gesture and taking a breath and sending a prayer for loving kindness, can you see how the difference in my own physiology?
Huge difference.
That's a huge difference.
Huge difference in your reaction, which is what you have control over. And who knows, even if they're just a thoughtless jerk, they may need loving kindness as well.
And wouldn't the world be a nicer place if we were all letting other people in line and sending people loving kindness instead of road rage?
Carol, how did you get interested in teaching yoga for seniors?
My journey to teaching yoga for seniors started in 1999. I enrolled in a yoga teacher training program. It was a two-year, 700-hour program. And as part of that program, we had to do some community service. We had to do 12 hours of community service. And for my community service, I volunteered teaching yoga at the Durham VA Medical Center, where my husband is a cardiologist at Duke, and I knew some folks there, and they were very happy for me to volunteer there. And this group was called GeriFit. It was a gerontology rehabilitation program. So they were mostly men, because they were veterans. There were some women in their 60s, 70s, 80s. They had had heart attacks. They had COPD. They had diabetes. These were people dealing with some serious health challenges. And I walked in, you know, as a newly minted teacher looking at this group of older men. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm scared to death I'm going to kill them. I can't teach these guys sun salutations. What am I going to do? So I observed their calisthenics. They did aerobics and they did weight training. And as part of that calisthenics, they got on all fours and they did something they called hump and slump, hump and slump. And the light went off.
Whoa, hump and slump.
That's what they called it. I've got to say, they were on their hands and knees and they would arch their back up. That was the hump. And then they would make their spine curve down. That was the slump. And as a yoga practitioner and newly minted yoga teacher, I realized, well, in yoga, we call that cat-cow. And if they were doing that anyway, if I taught it to them, I probably wouldn't kill them. So I saw that many of the things they were doing in their calisthenic program were actually based on yoga practices. So I took those that I knew they were already doing, and I added the breathing, and I added the awareness. And instead of volunteering there for 12 weeks, I volunteered there for 5 years because it was really transformative. They were so appreciative. They would come back to me and they would say, my doctor says I'm doing so well, whatever I'm doing, I should keep it up. And it was really amazing. And one of the things that I discovered in teaching veterans was that it's not just what you do in yoga. It's how you do it that really matters. And because these guys were soldiers, soldiers, athletes in our culture tend to disconnect their mind and their body. They have to. You would never break a block in karate if you were really thinking about how it might hurt. You really have to kind of disconnect. To do a marathon, you really have to just sort of not disconnect to a certain extent. So some of these guys really didn't know how they felt. And I'd look at someone who would be red in the face doing a pose and I'd say, are you okay? Yes, ma'am. They had no clue. So teaching them how to challenge themselves but not to strain, teaching themselves to back off a little, that was huge.
Oh, that's great. We go to the phones in Binghamton, New York. Virginia would like to tell us about practicing yoga as an older adult. Virginia, please tell us your story.
Hi.
Hi, Virginia.
First,
go ahead.
First, thanks for your loving kindness. And I wanted to tell you all about a woman named Keo Fortune Lynch. She started practicing yoga, I think, when she was 4. She's 99 now.
Did you say 99?
Yes. She's the world's oldest living yoga instructor.
Well, I have to tell you, we don't have a very good line, Virginia, but it sounds pretty extraordinary. A 99-year-old yoga instructor, Carol Krukoff?
I've seen this person on the internet. I think her name is Tara Porcian. She seems to be a very lovely woman. And yes, you can have yoga instructors of any age.
Wonderful. Let's go to line one, Terry. Christina in St. Petersburg, Florida. Hi, Christina. You're on the People's Pharmacy. What's up?
Hello. Good morning.
What's your story, Christina?
Well, I just wanted to express my appreciation for the show this morning. I am a yoga instructor down here in St. Petersburg, and I'm 34 now, and I've been practicing probably since I was about 14. And you always want to share things you love, and yoga has always been one of those things that creates, brings awareness to us. I was awareness to our body especially, but our mind and heart even more. And I think the more people develop a yoga practice or are introduced to yoga, they just start to see a change in them, that you're becoming more aware of maybe better ways to live your life, making better decisions. And like you said, Carol, through the principles, the yamas and the niyamas of almost finding the good versus finding all the bad, you just become a better person.
Well, Christina, thank you very much for the call. It almost sounds too good to be true, Carol Krukoff.
Well, It's very interesting. As yoga has become so popular in our culture, I don't want to overstate the benefits. It's something people need to find for themselves. So it is a transformative practice, and it changes too. My practice now at 64 is very different than it was in my 20s. In my 20s, I was a much more athletic practice. If I didn't sweat during my practice, it just didn't feel right. I used to stand on my head. I used to do lots of twisty pretzel poses. And at 64, having dealt with various health issues, I no longer stand on my head. I no longer do end range rotation because I do have low bone density. So my physical posture practice has changed, but I still have a very vigorous practice. I still feel like I'm keeping myself in very good physical shape from the practice, but also in my meditation practice and my taking the yoga off the mat is what has really blossomed in this last decade of my life, because we put ourselves in challenging postures on the mat. We do these, you know, kind of interesting physical movements, and then we're in these interesting positions. And then the challenge is to breathe and relax, to find that place where you're challenging yourself, not straining, to notice what's here, to notice what emotions might arise. You just tried to balance and you couldn't. So what does that do to your emotional heart? What's happening? So noticing all that, you do that on the mat, then you roll up your mat, and ideally you take all those lessons out into the world. And that's, to me, the magic of yoga, because what we learn on the mat about how we approach the challenges of the posture practice can inform how we deal with the challenges that we face in our daily life.
Carol, we understand that some people use yoga to prepare for surgery. How does that work?
Well, I certainly did. I had open heart surgery in January. It'll be 11 years ago. I was born with a bicuspid aortic valve, which is one of the most common valvular abnormalities. My aortic valve, two leaflets were fused. So over time, it became severely narrowed. It was stenotic, so I had to have it replaced, and it had created an aneurysm. So at 54, I was facing open heart surgery, which is quite a major surgery. And my yoga practice was really profoundly helpful, because no matter how vulnerable you are, and believe me, in the hospital, in those gowns that never really fit me and they're open in the back and I always feel exposed and cold, no matter what's going on in the outer world, you can still control your inner world. And this is what the yoga practice helps us do. So in preparing for surgery, certainly in the days before surgery, there's a lot of anxiety and anticipation. So helping to sleep, just keeping my energy positive. And then in the surgery itself, my surgeons were kind enough to let me bring in, at the time it was an iPod that I had yoga chanting, and I listened to that as I was put under the anesthetic. And as I was recovering from surgery, even if you're in a hospital bed and you can't really move, you can still breathe, you can still meditate. And then in recovery, it's the teaching that we learn in yoga, which is to avoid strain, to challenge yourself. So it's, you don't want to be lazy, but you don't want to be pushy. And in our culture, that's one of the things as a yoga teacher that I think I really try to emphasize the most, because many people come in and they want to do it right and they want to give 110%, and they think it's another exercise class where you've got to compete and you got to look like the person next to you and you're pushing yourself, and kind of erasing all of that. And I try in my classes to create a welcoming environment. It doesn't matter what anybody else on any other mat is doing or looks like. This is your practice, and find that place where you're challenging yourself, but you're not straining.
Well, we have an email from JR in Chapel Hill who says, I've had restless leg syndrome my entire life. It was so bad my legs would spasm at night and wake my husband up. I finally cured it by doing yoga several times a week. Perhaps the stretching helps to get rid of the lactic acid in the muscles. Yoga has also cured my chronic back and hip pain. So how often does somebody need to practice yoga to get benefit?
I would say a short practice daily, and, you know, even 5 to 10 minutes, a short practice daily is better than a big, long practice now and then. So how much does someone have to practice to get benefit? I would say a daily practice. Again, even 5 to 10 minutes would be useful.
What are some of the other benefits of yoga? Does it have any benefit for the heart? I mean, we don't think of it as a cardiovascular exercise like vigorous walking or running. What about things like balance, for example?
So while it's not aerobic like running or walking, the benefits for the heart may come from the relaxation and the stress reduction, the lowering of the respiration rate and lowering of the heart rate. In terms of literature and the scientific evidence for yoga is really in its infancy. But over the last decade, there's been a growing body of research looking into yoga. And now if you go to clinicaltrials.gov and you search yoga, there are hundreds and hundreds of studies that are looking at yoga as a therapeutic modality for everything from cancer to chronic pain. There's a huge literature. What the evidence suggests at this time is robust enough to say that yoga can do would be the back pain and the neck pain seem to be relatively well established. Some indications for chronic pain and for heart rate, hypertension. So it's growing, and I'm very excited to be a consultant on a study that's being done looking at yoga for anxiety.
Terrific. Oh, that sounds very cool. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to find out about the importance of breathing. You've already mentioned it a little bit, but we want to get a little bit more, like, how do you do that exactly?
There are a lot of different types of yoga. How can you determine the best type for you to practice?
If you've used yoga practice to help with a health condition, we invite you to join the conversation. Our lines are open at 888-472-3366. You can email us, radio@peoplespharmacy.com. That number again, 888-472-3366.
You're listening to The People's Pharmacy with Joe and Terry Graydon. If you're enjoying this People's Pharmacy podcast, why not head over to our website where you'll find a wealth of information on medications, conditions, home remedies, and ways to keep yourself healthy. You'll find it all at peoplespharmacy.com.
Welcome back to The People's Pharmacy. I'm Joe Graydon.
And I'm Terry Graydon. If you would like to purchase a CD of this show or any other People's Pharmacy broadcast, you can call 800-732-2334. It's show number 1138. That number, 800-732-2334, or visit our website, peoplespharmacy.com.
The People's Pharmacy is brought to you in part by Brain Gauge, developed by neuroscientists at the University of North Carolina to track brain health. Available for home, research, and clinical applications online at gageyourbrain.com.
Today we're talking about the health benefits of yoga. Our guest, Carol Krukoff, is co-director of the Yoga for Seniors Teacher Training Program. She's a yoga therapist at Duke Integrative Medicine in Durham, North Carolina. Carol has written extensively for numerous publications, including Yoga Journal, as well as The New York Times and The Washington Post. Her most recent book, co-authored with Kimberly Carson, is Relax into Yoga for Seniors, a 6-week program for strength, balance, flexibility, and pain relief. Her previous book was Yoga Sparks, 108 Easy Practices for Stress Relief in a Minute or Less.
If you have a question about yoga or a story you'd like to share, our lines are open at 888-472-3366. If the lines are full, and they are at the moment, you can reach us through email, radio@peoplespharmacy.com.
And Joe, we have an email from Helen in West Virginia who says, I've been practicing yoga for about 20 years, and I'm very pleased with several outcomes. One is good posture. I'm still 5'7", the height I achieved in high school. The other is that my balance is very good. I've had some close calls on steps, and I've always been able to instantly correct. And finally, the meditation techniques I've learned have curbed my anxiety many times. And here's the best part, and it's in all caps, yoga feels good.
That's wonderful. And, you know, the reason that people come back to doing something is because they enjoy it. So to me, that's part of the reason why we do yoga, is because it feels good. We can befriend our bodies. We can enjoy having these bodies. It's vehicles for our spirits.
That's great. We go to Dallas, Texas. Charles, welcome to the People's Pharmacy.
Hi. Thank you very much. I'm really interested in your program. I started yoga when I was 62 because I was having substantial problems in my hip and walking and sitting. And I was stiffening up in my back. I couldn't even touch my knees. And at the suggestion of a doctor, he said, if you don't start doing something, you'll stiffen up. He said, try yoga. And I've been going every day for 6 days a week since. And it's been unbelievable.
So are you able to walk without pain?
Not only can I walk without pain, I can now do jumping jacks that I haven't done since high school.
Oh, that is good news,
well,
Charles.
Thank you for
sharing,
Charles. We really do appreciate it. Carol, I'm...
Wow. Well, that's a wonderful testimonial, and not just to you, but also to your yoga teacher. That is wonderful to know that you found someone who is clearly a very good teacher.
And we had a physician recommending yoga, which is kind of cool, because I think a lot of times we get into the mode of thinking, oh, well, doctors are going to recommend medications, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, or perhaps recommend an orthopedic surgeon who will do a hip replacement or a knee replacement. So here's a physician who's saying, hey, let's try yoga first. And it worked.
And that is great. And part of the reason why there's such a move in the yoga community to research the effects is because it will result in physicians making these referrals. And because back pain is an area that there's very strong evidence of efficacy, physicians are referring people to yoga, which is great.
We actually have an email from Mary Kay who wants you to compare Tai Chi and yoga for seniors.
Well, there are many similarities in yoga and Tai Chi. Both are what would be called a mind-body activity, in that with Tai Chi and with yoga, you cannot be watching television and do Tai Chi or do yoga. You might be doing Tai Chi moves and yoga moves while you're watching television, but you're not doing the practice. So you have to be completely involved with what you're doing. You have to be very present in both Tai Chi and in yoga. Tai Chi is a very slow martial art where you're staying very present. You shift your weight from one side to the other. So Tai Chi is often recommended for older adults. It's done in Asian communities, and there's good efficacy for Tai Chi and balance. One of the biggest differences with yoga and Tai Chi is that Tai Chi, as far as I'm aware, is always done standing, Whereas yoga, you're in many planes of action. If people can get down and up from the floor, they can lie down. And if they can't get down and up from the floor, you can do yoga in your bed. But you can do yoga prone, so there are movements that are done prone and supine. There are also inverted movements. So if you're physically able to be upside down, you could do a handstand in yoga. I'm not sure that there are any inverted movements in Tai Chi. So that's a little bit of the difference, the planes of action.
Okay. Well, we go to Ira, Texas. Gail, welcome to the People's Pharmacy.
Hi, I am so happy to talk. Carol, I took your training back at Duke a number of years ago, and I wanted to say hi.
Yay!
Since that time, I've opened a yoga studio in this small farming community, almost on the Oklahoma border, and I have people coming from great distances because there's not a lot of yoga around here. But it's so good to hear your voice again, and I want you to know that your methods and your book are being shared with my classes. I do a chair yoga class twice a week, and I've got a lady in there that's 84. But the very best part of my yoga classes, they all say, is the Shavasana, where they can just shut everything out, let their bodies come to quiet, and give some time just to themselves. And I owe that to you.
Well, so, Gail, thank you so much for sharing that story. For those of our listeners who don't quite know what you mean when you say chair yoga, can you explain?
Well, we do a lot of the poses from the chair. We're sitting down. We can do a lot of upper body where we stretch our arms and necks and round our backs like in cat-cow. We use the chair also to get down to the floor. And there was a specific way that I was taught there at Duke to stand with your hands and that little finger on the place where the legs attach, and we practice that in standing. They use the chair as they get down to the floor, put one knee down, then the other down. And I had one person who's now deceased, and I taught them that if they ever fell in their house, to get to a place where they can pull themselves up. And I was told that Betty did that and was able to do that before she passed. And so it helps throughout the life that we have left.
And inquiring minds want to know, Gail, do you have any farmers in that farming community doing yoga?
That was my good question. I do have. I have a person down the road from me. His name is Mike. He has had a valve replacement, and he came to yoga, of course, with the encouragement of his wife. And they both did yoga for a while. He's now in cardiac rehab and has said that, you know, he'll come back to yoga when he can. He's involved in that right now. And even my husband, who is a farmer, did classes when Mike was coming. But you're right. It's more women. I'm encouraging men because my husband is also a golfer, and it helps with his shoulders and back when he gets a little bit stiff from golf.
Gail, thanks so much for your call.
It was delightful to hear from you, Gail, and I'm so appreciative to hear that the techniques that we've been teaching at Duke are making their way out into the world, because what my experience has been working with older adults and people with health challenges is hearing far too many times from people who say, oh, I went to a yoga class. My doctor said I should go to yoga class, so I went to this gym or this Y or something, and I got hurt. And the reality is that if people are older adults or have health challenges, walking into just any yoga class may not be the most advisable thing. You want to be working with a teacher who has been trained to work with older adults and people with health challenges, because many of the postures that are commonly done in yoga classes may not be appropriate when people have hypertension or they have low bone density. And many yoga teachers with the basic rudimentary training are not aware of this. I had a woman who was new to my class yesterday who, at the end of the class, said, you know, I really loved this class, and it was so different from what I've been getting, because I went to a senior yoga class at another location, and the teacher just did things really slow. But they were too hard for me, but they were really slow, and that's not... Teachers need special training.
How can you find a teacher who has the knowledge that you will need as a beginning yoga?
Well, ask the teacher what his or her credentials are. The basic credential for a yoga teacher would be an RYT, which means they're a registered yoga teacher with the Yoga Alliance. But that is just a baseline. More extensive training might be reflected in someone who's a yoga therapist. That would be a CIAYT. So that indicates that that person has training in therapeutic applications. And ask the person, how long have you been teaching yoga? Have you worked with people, with older adults? Where did you do your training? There's a lot of what I call yoga-flavored exercise out there, which is an exercise class where people are doing yoga poses. And they're still using the same mentality. I don't have anything against exercise. I love exercise classes. I've been a gym rat for much of my life. But if you're calling it yoga, then it should not be competitive. It should not be judgmental. People should not be pushing themselves. It's a different animal.
We go to Ray in Durham, North Carolina. What's your story, Ray?
Hi, Terry and Joe. Thanks for the show, and thanks, Dr. Carroll. I've got a suspicion that the phrase, what goes around comes around, for you, Joe and Terry, is not a daunting, foreboding phrase because of the body of work that you guys have brought to our community over the years. So thank you for the show. Carol, I'm really glad that you brought up that fourth factor, that almost spiritual factor of yoga. It was in a class maybe 5 years ago that I finally was able to shake a lower back problem that had been nagging me literally since my sophomore year in high school. And, the technique that yoga instructor there in Chapel Hill used was, I just went to one of her classes. It was a hot room. It was probably about 100 degrees, maybe 95 degrees. And it was a power flow yoga class. But my daughter invited me, and she helped me with some of the poses and gave me the bolsters to use. So it was kind of like a yoga-flavored class that you just referred to. But in that one class, which only lasted maybe 75 minutes, I've never had a problem with my lower back again.
Wow.
That is great news.
Thank you for sharing that story. The idea that one yoga class could actually make a difference?
That's pretty amazing. But it's not unheard of. And what I often hear from people that really makes a difference is that they enjoy it, that they, for the first time in a long time, they felt like they could move their body without pain. The invitation to not push yourself, but to enjoy the practice, to be aware, to move with breath. It can be a way of befriending your body that many people aren't used to. It's surprising to me one of the biggest surprises for me as being a yoga teacher and therapist is how much self-loathing there is out there and how many people are just at war with their bodies. Oh, my stupid hip. Oh, my stupid back. Oh, I'm too fat. There's just so much going on in their minds and their hearts in relationship to their physical body. And the practice of just learning to love yourself exactly as you are right now, and to breathe and to notice and to recognize that you are whole and complete as you are, even with all your imperfections. And that is the practice. It's not about, oh, when I lose 10 pounds, oh, when this happens. It's about right now, what's going on, and being grateful.
Carol, Ray mentioned hot yoga. What are the benefits and risks of hot yoga?
So for people with cardiovascular issues, hot yoga would not be something that I would recommend because in high temperatures, that can place more stress on the heart. People who enjoy hot yoga, the benefits are promoted to be that it helps the flexibility, it can ease muscle pain, but there are also risks to moving in a hot environment. And for the population that I work with, which is older adults and people with health challenges, it's hot yoga would generally not be my recommendation.
We only have about a minute left, but all of these different kinds of yoga, there's something called hatha yoga, and there's hot yoga, and there's this yoga, and there's that. How do you know which is the right yoga for you?
Well, hatha yoga is the umbrella term for the physical practice of yoga. So all of the kinds of yoga, virtually all of what we think of as yoga in the West is hatha yoga. Anything with postures is hatha yoga. And within that, there are many different forms and varieties. And it really depends on your individual goals and your where you are. But if somebody is new to yoga, I would say start with a beginner's class. Even if you're very fit and know a lot about other things, get the foundations and start at the beginning.
Now, I do have a question, and I have to be a little honest. This comes from my daughter. And she says, how do you know when you're experiencing good pain versus bad pain? Namely, how do you know when to stop versus keep going in a posture?
That is such a good question. And that's what she's describing is what we call the edge. So you want to take something to challenge, not to strain. If you're not sure, check your breath. If you can breathe comfortably and easily, it's probably okay. If your breath is compromised in any way, back off.
And you said that probably the best thing for a beginner is to start with a beginner's class.
Absolutely. You want to get the foundations and get the basics.
That is all the time we have today. We want to thank our guest, Carol Krukoff. She is a yoga therapist at Duke Integrative Medicine in Durham, North Carolina. She offers classes and workshops for people with health challenges. And she's co-director of the Yoga for Seniors Teacher Training Program. There, yoga instructors learn to adapt the practice for older bodies and minds, with safety foremost. Carol is an award-winning journalist. She served as founding editor of the Washington Post's health section. She wrote a syndicated column, Body Works, for 12 years. Her books include the most recent, Relax Into Yoga for Seniors, a 6-week program for strength, balance, flexibility, and pain relief, and Yoga Sparks.
Lynn Siegel produced today's show. Pamela Alberta provided technical assistance, and Al Wodarski is the engineer.
He had some assistance from Jenny Lawson. The People's Pharmacy is produced at the studios of North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.
The People's Pharmacy theme music is by B.J. Lederman.
If you would like to order a CD of today's show, you can call 800-732-2334. It's show number 1138.
In Durham, North Carolina, I'm Joe Graydon.
And I'm Terry Graydon. Thank you for listening, and please join us again next week.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If so, please consider taking a minute to write a review on iTunes. And thanks for listening to The People's Pharmacy.